Well, thank you for joining me. So good to pray with you. I can't tell you how much I was looking forward to today's chaplet of Divine Mercy. I want to send a shout out to Juan Landa from Modern Day Church. It's his birthday today, and Juan, happy birthday. He's a friend. I've traveled with him many times, and special prayers for you today during the chaplet, of course, and I've been praying over the weekend, and you've been with me. I've taken all of your intentions. I know many of you have special and urgent needs. In fact, I just received a letter from a lady today. I'm here in the studio with Chris Flood, my colleague here, and I went to my inbox, and there is a surgery. Let me just get this out of the envelope. She says, I try most days to pray the chaplet in Mesa, Arizona. Have gotten twice, but have not been picked to state my intention. And we get a lot of calls. Not everybody makes it there, unfortunately. But hopefully you will pray for this person. She says she's having surgery today. And she's having the third Mayo Hospital surgery on Monday, 9/11. Could you pray for her? So we will certainly, I won't go through all the details of the letter here, but we are praying for you. And just hang in there, okay? Chris Flood is in studio with me today. Chris, what do you need prayer for?
I would just like to pray for all the prayer intentions that our listeners and donors send in, that they mail in with their payments and give to us in all other ways. Oh, there's so many of them. We need to pray for those.
Pray for all of our donors, those who sacrifice to keep the chaplet and this network on the air. Ave, we're going to pray for you. I know you just wrote to me. And for everyone who written to us in our email, as well as those who are putting their intentions up on Twitter, we'll bring you to the table. I just want to share an answered prayer to you. I think it was last Friday, I shared this with you. I had mentioned that there was a woman who was going to commit suicide. Her name was Martha Sepulveda, and she just had no desire to live, and she had the ability to take her own life on Sunday. She was in Colombia. You and I, we prayed this chaplet on Friday that God would save her life, that she'd have a conversion of heart. And I just have been notified that Martha, her euthanasia was scheduled for yesterday, canceled. All right? Canceled. And this person says, I just want to thank you for the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I was so moved to hear you praying for her. This person says, I know this is an answer to prayer. Even though the battle is not over, we need to keep praying for her. And look, that's why when we pray for aborted children in the womb, or with children in the womb, that they won't be aborted, or somebody with suicidal ideation, God hears these prayers. I'm telling you, lives are saved. The lost are found. We see these results all the time. In fact, speaking of the lost, I just received an intention for somebody. Could you pray for a 5-year-old boy that he be found and is safe? His name is Michael Joseph Vaughn. Investigators are seeking individuals that they've seen on surveillance video. So that is a terrifying thought. Let's pray for protection for that child. And this chaplet, as I say to you all the time, we have these unbelievable miracles of the lost and the kidnapped being returned to their family. And one final intention, then we'll take some of yours. I've been covering this story for you. I mean, bringing these stories whenever it happens. Of church vandalism, of statues being destroyed violated. The Catholic Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Denver was vandalized over the weekend with very hateful messages and horrible symbols. And it just continues to be troubling to see these increased reports of vandalism at Catholic churches all across the country, and particularly in the diocese there of Denver. It's unfortunate. We've seen cases where 25 parishes, since February of 2020 in the Archdiocese of Denver have been targets of vandalism or property destruction or theft. Windows are broken. Statues are defaced. Arson attempts. The Eucharist has been stolen, and these are all horrific situations. It's not random. I think this is premeditated, and I also think it's demonic, to be honest with you. I think it's driven often by dark forces. So let's just pray for peace, for unity, for healing, for protection, and let's pray for you right now as well. All right, and if you could pray for my intention today, it'd be great. I'd be really grateful for that as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. No blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
No blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
No blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Jim, praying with us in Geneva, Illinois. Hi, Jim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I'd like this special intention to be for my father, as he is within the last 24 hours of his life. His name is Jim Sr. On the 30th of September, Father Bachlin from St. Peter's Parish anointed him, and he received the grace to be lucid over the last several days, but we're now told that the end is imminent.
I'm so sorry for you, Jim. It's hard. So hard to lose a father. I've been through that. I'm sure your father must have been very proud of you. I'm glad you got through today. Let's pray for him. All right? Let's lift him up right now. And what a glorious day for your father. You know, we pray that he will be met by our merciful Savior, because the Lord promises us that. That's the beauty of this prayer. He says, whoever will recite this prayer will be given great mercy at the hour of death. And Jesus himself is not a liar. He tells the truth. He says, I will stand between my father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. So I know the Lord's going to meet your father. We're going to pray for him right now. I know there's going to be a lot of grace coming to his way right now. Lord, I just thank you for this. You know, I know at the hour of death, you promised that you would defend as your own glory anyone who prays the chaplet or for whom the chaplet is prayed. And you said the pardon would be the same. So I give you Jim and his family and all those who mourn. Pray for all those now approaching the threshold of eternity. I pray for those who've gone before us. And Lord, I pray for those who you will be calling home in the not too distant future. And I also pray for the hour of our own death. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Martha in Oak Forest, Illinois. Good afternoon, Martha. Thanks for praying with us.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. God bless you.
Thank you.
I have prayer intentions for a dear friend, my girlfriend. Her sister had a brain aneurysm on Friday, and right now she's in the hospital, heavily sedated. So prayers for her that you know, she comes out and everything is fine with her. Also for Deacon Panic, he has gone through also cancer, and now is doing the chemotherapy. So we are praying that the chemotherapy will completely remove any cancer remnants, and also will not cause any harm to the rest of his organs. And lastly, I want to pray for my daughter's boyfriend who is seeking employment with this company and went on an interview also on Friday. And I'm really praying that he gets this job. And last but not least, Drew, for the young people that are committing suicide, we had a friend, a grammar school friend of my daughter's who we found out today that committed suicide for his parents, for peace and understanding, and for the repose of his soul.
Thank you, Martha. Let's pray for all these important intentions. And that last one in particular, I know a couple lives near me, not too far away, and their son was taken from them. And any parent who loses a child by accident or tragedy or death by suicide, it's just so, so hard. And Lord, I pray for these parents and these siblings and loved ones who suffer this loss. And I also pray that you hold back the hand of those we love, that they never fear, they never give in to anxiety or depression and feel that life is not worth living. And I just pray that life can be respected and upheld, and especially for those loved ones in these dark moments, that they don't harm themselves. I ask for mercy for all those. But we pray for the soul of those who have made this mistake, and I know you are merciful to them, Lord. But we pray for her sister, her friend who's in the hospital now with this brain aneurysm, and for all those looking for work and doing interviews and those who are struggling financially. Martha had so many beautiful intentions. Lord, I give them to you, united with all who are praying for similar intentions. And I ask you to hear our cries as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. I'll tell you what. Before I go to Ben, let me go to Maggie, who is on Twitter right now, and she's seeing all the intentions that are coming, a lot in the email as well. But Maggie, what can we or who should we be praying for today?
Well, Kupinski is asking for prayers for Baldo, who has been suffering from digestive issues for a long time. And he says that he rarely complains, even though he suffers so much. So let's pray for healing and restoration there. Angelana's praying for her granddaughter, who has COVID. She's 14 years old. Let's pray for healing for her. Reese is asking for prayers for the soul of her brother. Jeanette is asking for prayers for 12-year-old Gabby, who fell, had a concussion, and is experiencing seizures now. Maritess is praying for her daughter Jasmine, who is a single mom struggling with anxiety and mental health struggles. And it looks like Myra is asking for prayers for her 14-year-old son, who is recovering from foot surgery and struggling with pain control. And I did want to just mention that this Friday is the quarterly mass for all of our Divine Mercy intercessors. So I'd like to pray for them and all of their intentions.
Thank you, Maggie. Such an important one. Yeah, if you can become a Divine Mercy intercessor. Now, what that is, very quickly, I don't want to take too much time to talk about it, is just in addition to us praying the chaplet every day together at this time, you just commit to some other prayer throughout the day for this spiritual family here. And I figure we can continue to do that. Imagine somebody at 9 o'clock at Mass praying for you, or at noon saying the Angelus or the Rosary at night or wherever it might be. Imagine the graces are going to flow and the miracles are going to take place. And every quarter, a Mass is offered for your intentions here at the Nativity of the Chapel of the Nativity here at Relevant Radio. And I would really encourage you to tap into it. You get Mass offered for 4 times a year, as well as all this other prayer. So it's relevantradio.com. Go to the Faith tab, and you can sign up for it. And nothing else is required. That's all. Just prayer. All right. Let me go to Ben. He's listening to us in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Ben, good afternoon.
Hello. Last time I called, my prayer was answered. I called that my grandma would get, or my grandpa would get a job. He did. Yay. I'd like to pray for my religion teacher. me and my sister and everyone in my family, and that I have a great day today.
Well, Ben, first of all, I love your phone call. I am so glad you called, brother, and I'm so glad that your grandfather got that job, because God does answer prayers. And I really think that your prayers especially are powerful. God delights in you. He loves the purity, the innocence of your prayer. So I'm going to pray for your family. I'm going to pray you have a great day. Do me a favor too, Ben. Would you say a prayer for the Mariani family today, okay? If you could do that, I'd appreciate that, because I know God's going to hear your prayers, and I'm grateful for it. All right, so let's pray right now. We'll pray for you, okay, bud? All right. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Anna's praying in Las Vegas. Hey, Anna, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it.
Thank you very much for taking my call. Hello.
Yeah, Anna, you got it. It's great to have you here. Thank you for calling. I can hear you.
Oh, good. I'm so sorry. Yes, thank you. I have several intentions. I'll be very quick.
Sure.
But I really need graces and blessings, freedom from my financial worries and my health. And then my sister has stage 4 lung cancer and dementia.
Wow.
And I want freedom from abortion, peace on earth. And Drew, I want to pray for your intentions as well.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful service. Thank you.
Anna, thank you. And look, you know, I won't do it now because we don't have time, but I should share a couple stories of when I was really down and out and struggling financially. And this is really where I learned to trust. God never failed me. He would come through. One day I'm going to write a book about some of this, and hopefully it'll inspire you and so many others. Put your trust in God right now. This prayer is powerful. It can change those situations that seem impossible. So, Lord, I pray for Anna in particular, for those who are in the same walk with her, who are concerned about their finances, who are drowning in debt, who see no way out of it. Lord, those who are underemployed and unemployed, those who have nothing, and they're just in need of your mercy. And Lord, that's what I come to you with. I ask for your mercy, and I ask for your providence. I ask for surprise blessings. And I just ask you hear their prayers today in a special way. I love those big intentions, too, for the end of the culture of death, for peace in the world, something we should all be praying for. And I give you Anna and all these intentions she voiced as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let me see if I can sneak an extra intention or two in on this deck. It's Maritza, listening in Staten Island. Good afternoon. Thanks for praying with us.
Yes, hi, Drew.
Hey.
It's so nice to hear the show on phone.
It's good to have you with me.
Amen. God bless you. I'm calling from Staten Island, New York, and it's really hard in my life, very difficult with my family, my children. I have one is my son and another is my brother, and they have a lot of problems. They have homelessness, mental illness, aggravated assault, and bad people who are trying to hurt them more. They have, they're going through sexual abuse, and they're almost 40 years old.
Oh,
by, I don't know who it is, some for some somebody they knew, or some ex boss in at their job, and it's really hard. And they,
if that's going on, you know, make sure they get the they get separation from that that situation, and make sure the authorities are aware of that, and. Let's pray for them right now. I mean, this is the first step. Let's pray for clarity and for wisdom. Let's pray for your brother who has all those struggles. And Maritza, let's pray for you. I know you must have a heart full of intentions. I want to bring them before the Lord now. And I just want to say to you and to anyone who's in these horrible situations, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. That's from Proverbs 3:5. What did the Lord tell us? He says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary. If you're carrying a heavy burden, I'll give you rest, right? Lean on him. Trust in him. All right, Lord, I believe that greater is he that who's in you than who's in the world, Maritza. And I believe in miracles. I believe that God is on our side. Who can be against us, right? I want to lift up your intentions. I pray for anyone suffering sexual abuse, anyone who is suffering addiction, anyone who is homeless right now, Lord, I pray for those who are down and out in need of healing and new beginnings. I want to pray for the incarcerated. And I just give you all these souls. And I'm going to take one last intention here. Maureen in Philadelphia, good afternoon. Maureen, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hold on, I'm sorry. I'm done with the other caller. Yes, I wanted to call. I called in August. And I was diagnosed with the uterine cancer, and you told me I would get good news.
Yeah.
Are you? And
I'm
so
here,
I did.
Maureen. Well, praise God.
So see I got that? Yes, I did. I had a full hysterectomy. The cancer was totally contained in my uterus. Wow. However, it did grow 66% into the wall, still contained in the uterus. And all they want to do is just give me 3 radiation treatments that'll start next month. But the doctor said it's my prognosis is, you know, wonderful.
Right. Oh,
so I wanted
God.
To thank you for that. I did a prayer for you as I was waiting for your intention. And the only other thing I'd like to pray for is that I now have no money. I ran out of all the unemployment benefits, so it's been a month. I had a job interview on Friday, and I just like to pray that this is the right fit and right. get the job. He seems very nice.
Well, good. Let's pray for you right now, Maureen. I'm going to do that right now. And praise God. I mean, God can use science. He can use surgery. He can use all sorts of things to bring about healing. And we thank God for our intellect and for technology and for science. Lord, I pray for miraculous healings. I pray for anyone battling cancer, for the eradication of those cells and for their health. But I do pray for those right now who are looking for work and are unemployed, Lord. Those who are really struggling financially, it's one of those big intentions today. I've heard, I just asked today that you really reward, you really answer in a big time way for these souls. I give you these intentions along with all who now unite with me. Read our hearts and be merciful as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for
Mother
us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for
our
us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for
Saint
us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for
Saint
us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint John the 23rd.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, stay with me, because when I come back, speaking of the feast of St. John the 23rd, I don't know how many of you remember him or even know his backstory. He actually appeared in a cave after he was dead to a group of trapped miners. It's a bizarre story. I'll share that with you and more. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
All things current. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's a nice bumper, Maggie. Thank you. Good to be with you today. Hey, thank you so much for praying with me. Don't forget to send me your intentions. And please today, in a special way, remember me in your prayers. I'd be grateful for that. I do want to give you a spiritual insight into how God does work. I believe so completely in miracles, because I've seen them. I've seen food multiply. I've seen statues weep. I've seen miraculous healings. I've been present for apparitions. I've met mystics. You know, I've seen things. I've been present during bilocations. I've seen all of this because I think God really wants me to communicate to you in a very direct and powerful way that he does exist and that nothing is impossible with him. There was a story that I had come across. Today is actually the anniversary of the feast of St. John the 23rd. Now, like you, like me, probably most of our life, you know, I was a young boy when John Paul the second was elected, and he was a pope for most of my lifetime. But there may be a number of you who remember John the 23rd. He was born back in 1881, and when Pius the 12th died in 58, he was elected new pope. And he was most notable for, you know, convoking the Second Vatican Council in 62. But he was known to have just a great humor, good personal warmth, and he got this moniker as the good Pope John, is what they would refer to him as. And he had this habit of sneaking out of the Vatican in the dead of the night, and he'd go and he'd stroll around Rome. And they gave him this nickname, right? He was known as Johnny Walker, right? Johnny Walker. I'm serious. A play upon the famous Scotch whiskey, right? God eventually called him home, as we all know, right? And he was declared blessed, and then the next step prior to becoming officially declared a saint by Pope John Paul II. But why is he so popular today? We're talking a half a century later, plus, right? What is it about this man? You know, all these years after his death, that we still remember him. He's remained in the heart of Catholicism as the Pope of goodness, the Pope who was the image of goodness. And he was elected kind of old. He was 77 years old when he became Pope. But he had this youthful spirit, right? And he rejuvenated the church. He was also, he also thinks the way I think that, let me share with you this rather than go into his life too much, because there's a lot I want to share with you. He suffered a lot for unity in Christians. He did. He really suffered. Pope John the 23rd, during his sickness, and he suffered an 8-month battle with stomach cancer, and it inspired a lot of people around the world. And he said this, and this is for you if you're suffering right now. He says, "My bed is like an altar, and an altar needs a victim." He says, "I offered myself to the Lord, and I do it voluntarily." And look, I went through some, I was sharing with you a couple of weeks ago, I had this terrible back pain that came on me out of nowhere. I didn't lift anything heavy, wasn't in an accident, and it literally was crippling. I mean, I couldn't stand erect. I couldn't put my pants on. I couldn't get into my car. You know, it was just crazy. But I rejoiced in it because I offered it up, and I knew it would be meritorious. I knew it would be efficacious. I knew it would be powerful, and I prayed for a specific individual with this particular suffering that I had. And now I'm totally, completely free from whatever it was. I'm liberated, if you will. But I'm struck by John the 23rd's words during his sickness and on his deathbed. You know, he says, my bed is like an altar. An altar needs a victim, and I offer myself to the Lord voluntarily. How many of us squander our suffering? How many of us who are suffering right now, you are suffering in this very moment, you can use it for the conversion of that loved one. You can use it for the liberation of that addicted person in your family. You can use it for whatever intention you need and unite it to that of the Lord on the cross. Allow your suffering to be like an altar. Be the victim. Offer it to the Lord. Do it voluntarily. Do it with love. Do it with joy. And watch how the power of your prayer becomes amplified. Watch the fruit of your prayer. It's one of the great lessons I took from this Pope. I just love it. When he died on June 3rd, 1963, the world, they mourned. They mourned. And you know, they say that Jews and Buddhists and even jail inmates all communicated their sentiments to the Secretary of State because John the 23rd felt like a father to them. He was the father, you know, that helped them feel more like brothers. He was a unifier. So I guess that prayer, that suffering worked. But there's a weird story that happened. This took place in August of 1963. There was a pair of very lowly, very insignificant, if you will. And I don't mean to be disparaging, but they were coal miners. You know, nothing special about these two men. And there was a collapse, and they were entombed about 300 feet below the surface of the earth. They were in a cave inside a mine in Pennsylvania. And you just imagine 1963. You know, and the technology we had to get them out, even. They were buried alive. And one man was a guy named David Fallon. He was 58. The other was a guy named Henry. They called him Hank Throne, young kid, right? 28 years old. So he had this 58-year-old man, this 28-year-old guy. And they knew they were going to die. They were destined to die a very horrible death because their chance of being rescued at the time, experts were saying, was just astronomical. Probably even worse. I mean, it was just very unlikely that they were going to get out. And when all seemed hopeless, when all hope was gone, God stepped in. All of a sudden, these two miners claim that Pope John the 23rd, who had died in a hospital in Rome, Italy, 10 weeks before the cave-in, he appeared to them in this pitch-black tomb. And they say that he radiated a bluish light. Cast no shadow. They had no explanation for this. Pope John, half the age of the old man, when he passed away, he was young. And this is very interesting in these near-death experiences and these visitations from the other side. Again, John the 23rd died very old. He came at half his age. They say he was grinning at these two miners. His arms were folded in front of him and remained inside their subterranean chamber. They say, and it's not me, I'm not making this up, this is a report, you can look it up, remained with them for at least 8 full days. On the 14th day, 2 weeks of the ordeal, the most incredible mining rescue of all time took place as this guy Throne and then Fallon were hauled to the surface through a borehole. They were wearing football helmets and parachute harnesses. They were entombed for a half a month. The first 5.5 days, right, without any contact whatsoever from the outside world. It wasn't like today. The last 7.5 during a phenomenal rescue operation, watched by people around the world just in complete fascination. The two miners, when they were finally safe on the surface, they were happy. You know, of course, the ending was front page news everywhere in every newspaper throughout the free world. They claim that John the 23rd visited them, that God had handpicked this guy particularly for this job. You know, they say that during his lifetime, John the 23rd shone like a beacon. He was a man of great humility, a humility that was never more obvious than back in 1958. Pope John's very first Christmas at the Vatican, when on a spur of a moment he decided to pay an impromptu visit to a prison there in Rome. And he visited some of the city's most hardened convicts. And John Paul, he entered the outreaches of the prison, and both the Vatican and prison officials there, they said, no, you shouldn't do this. They were very concerned about his safety, right? when he went into this prison, everybody breathed a sigh of relief because they realized behind these impenetrable bars of steel, the angry men on the other side were almost transformed. They were stunned. When he walked in, the smiling Pope waving to the prisoners, and these guys dropped to their knees, and these hardened criminals got down. They began applauding in a gesture of love and compassion. Again, the convicts on their knees applauding John the 23rd as he visits on Christmas Day. What a beautiful Pope, right? So why is it difficult to figure out why God chose John the 23rd, a very fitting representative, to keep a pair of crusty old miners from their appointment with a certain death? You know, I think he was the perfect choice by God. No doubt about it. Let me take a short pause. When we come back, I love John the 23rd. We could talk a lot about him. It's his feast today. Call upon him. When we come back, today's also Columbus Day, or if you heard the beginning of the show, the president has also declared this to be no longer just Columbus Day, but Indigenous People Day. I want to give you a look at Columbus. I'll give you a look at perhaps the mystical side, the hidden connections of Christopher Columbus. That and more when I return.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The glaciers melt back into the oceans. The ocean levels rise, closing the land bridge, stranding a branch of the human species for 10,000 years. Those humans who made it across that land bridge and spread out into North America, Central America, South America, have only a few families as their parent genetic origin, okay? Some research says it's like 8 family lineages populated the entire North and South American continents. Then the land bridge breaks. 2 separate branches of the human species. Now, Columbus crosses the Atlantic, makes contact with humans. This is the first time that has happened in 10,000 years. We have rejoined 2 branches of the human species. We are now 1 common genetic group. What I'm saying is, this was a hugely significant event. The rejoining of the branches of the human species.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I love that. I do. I just think that is awesome. That was the brilliant Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist, planetary scientist, just a wonderful communicator on why Columbus making contact with the Americas was so important for the human race. And I do love that. You know, just on a side note here, and we can talk Columbus, but we're all one race, right? We're the human race. You know, we are one family. And I thought the way he put that together was just brilliant. He goes on to say that groups that remain separated for long periods of time begin to separate genetically, like how the kangaroos in Australia are the only mammals with pouches. But we're one people. We are one people. We're a melting pot as a world, not just as a nation, as a world, you know? And so often we look at race and ethnicity and the pigment of one's skin and a whole litany of other things. We are the human race. Let's treat each other like that. Let's love one another. You know, that's how God created us. We're actually sons and daughters of God. I mean, that's really how we should look at our brothers and sisters. You know, that's how we should look at each other. It's good to be, you know, good to be with you. I believe God has such a plan for all of us, not just individual. We've all been given a mission. In fact, we've been probably given multiple missions in our life. But I believe God has a mission also for the world, you know, for the human race. And I think Columbus played a role in that. I think the New World, I think America plays a big role in God's divine plan. You know, the secular press loves to slander Columbus as being cruel to the Indians. They try to take away his credit. You know, the truth is that Christopher Columbus was not only the true discoverer of America, but he was also had a deeply devout Christianity. He had certain mystical connections, and we can talk about those. And I know some of you are saying, "Wait a minute, Drew, hold on. What about Leif Erikson? What about the Vikings?" You know, so that's actually a good point. And if I have time, maybe I'll talk about whether or not the Vikings actually landed here first, and it's very likely that they did. But Columbus is the one who gets the credit for discovering the New World. It transformed everything after he went back to Spain with his discovery. But few people, I think, know that Columbus actually prayed at a shrine in Spain called Guadalupe. I mean, not the one in Aztec Mexico, but in Spain. There was a shrine in Spain called Guadalupe before he set off on this great journey to the New World. It was a spot where, I should share this story with you too at some point. There was an ancient image of the Virgin Mary that had been hidden. It was hidden away in the first centuries after the death of Christ. And Our Lady appeared to a herdsman. This took place in the 1300s, 1326. And she appeared to this guy tending his herd. And he says, "Have the bishop dig up this image and build a chapel." And that's exactly what happened. And it's believed that Columbus actually took a replica of that image with him on his first trip across the Atlantic. And when he arrived in the New World, he named an island after Guadalupe, right? It's now spelled G-U-A-D-E-L-O-U-P-E, right? A little different than Guadalupe, but soon afterwards, the Virgin appeared, to an Aztec Indian near Mexico City, very same spot as the shrine Columbus prayed at, right? Guadalupe, and it was there that she vanquished the culture of death in the Americas. It was there that 9 million Aztecs came into the Catholic faith. That's the power of evangelization. It's the power, I really believe, of Our Lady. In large part, Columbus's discovery of the New World helped to bring about the end of that human sacrifice. The devotion of Columbus was very tangible. He named his ship, of course, after Christ's mother. You know the names of Columbus's ship, right? A little bit of trivia, the Santa Maria. And every night, he and his crew, did you know they sang the Hail Mary? Columbus kept a diary on his journey, and according to his diary, looking for the correct course, he claims, and I love this part of it, we could go into this in much greater detail, but I only have a few minutes. He was guided at one very critical point, by what he describes in his diary as a marvelous branch of fire that fell from the sky. A branch of fire that fell from the sky. Was it a meteor? Was it a shooting star? What was it? Was it a divine light? We see how fire has fallen from the sky many times, right? We see the solar phenomena in Fatima. We've seen it in lots of other areas as well. I mean, go back to the Temple of Baal. I mean, what happened there? I mean, we could take a look at how God uses fire. It's a whole other thing. But Columbus saw supposedly a marvelous, he describes it as a branch of fire that fell from the sky. That was September 15th, 1492. And once across the Atlantic, there was talk of mutiny, talk of turning the ship around. That was a sign for him to continue to forge on, right? And we would know that in a short period of time, he would make landfall. Across the Atlantic, when he finally does make landfall, the first island he came to, he called San Salvador for the Savior, right? And then the second, Santa Maria de la Concepcion for Mary, for the Mother of God, the Immaculate Conception. And of course, in addition to Guadalupe and another island, Montserrat, that's named for another ancient apparition site near Barcelona in Spain. That's a beautiful place. If you ever have a chance, Montserrat is breathtaking. But when he made landfall, what did the men first do? They prayed the Salve Regina. They prayed the Hail Holy Queen. So it's believed that the very first Christian prayer ever recited in the New World was a prayer, an entreaty, calling upon the Mother of God, the great advocate, to give them protection and blessing. And again, let me just go back. So the first prayer is this dedication to the Mother of God, the Salve Regina, right? Again, you see the role of Our Lady in vanquishing the culture of death and how important. I mean, we have our own a church-approved apparition here in this country. So, attempt to take away credit. Many point to the fact that the Vikings probably arrived in North America long before Christopher Columbus. Some say that he was brutal to the Indians. The fact is that the Vikings never established their discovery. I mean, for all practical purposes, maybe they skirted the northern regions and then left. It was the Indians who were pretty brutal at the time. The first Caribbean natives Columbus encountered, believe it or not, were cannibals. You know, they ate human flesh. So it was a wild time here. You're talking about this country being wild and godless, no doubt about it. But despite the yearning for all these secular scholars to erase the mystical foundations of America, its very discovery, I would argue, is it's rooted in Christianity. Other explorers were equally devout. You know, if you look at some of the places in our country, you know, I used to live not too far from the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland, right? And you know what the Chesapeake Bay was initially called? It was known as the Bay of St. Mary. The Mississippi River, that big river, runs north to south, right, emptying into the Gulf. It was known as the River of the Immaculate Conception. Quebec was also known as the Village of Mary. Lake George was known as the Lake of the Blessed Sacrament. So you see, and we can go on and on, Santa Cruz, I mean, you go through all these different places, right? You can see how this land has the etchings, if you will, of Christianity. Indians actually reported apparitions of the Virgin from South America all the way to Montana and to New York State. And New York State was actually consecrated to her before it was even known as New York. I've often shared the story about a cloistered nun who was seen in bilocation before the church ever stepped foot on this continent, teaching people about Jesus Christ and the faith. So there's more to the discovery of America than meets the eye. Somebody once said, you know, if you take the names of Columbus's ship, right, the Santa Maria, the Pinta, and the Nina, if you translate those words, it's almost a prophecy of what was to come in 1531 with Our Lady. If you take Santa Maria, Pinta, and Nina, it says, you know, St. Mary paints, you know, a small child, small woman. And that's what happened. We have this miraculous image of Our Lady on a tilma, on a cactus fiber cloak, to an Aztec Indian who humbly follows her requests. And we see what happened with the conversion of all of the Americas. You know, and now Our Lady, when she appeared there in 1531, she appeared in the geocenter of the Americas, north and south. I love it. Look, I could talk an hour more just on the mystical side of the founding of our nation here. If I have time, maybe I'll spend a little more time, but I only have about a minute left with you here today, or in this hour, I should say. I'll be back on the other side. In fact, coming up, there's some news that you're probably going to want to hear about. But I do want to put a quick plug in for you, too, because this is your last week to get, you know, your opportunity to get those beautiful nativity creches. Last chance this week, okay, 15th is the last day to register. We're going to draw the names on the 18th. But if you might have been away next week, you know, last week, maybe you didn't hear me talk about it, we have 200 beautiful outdoor nativity sets. I actually have one. It was given to me like 15 years ago, right? Beautiful. They're valued at about $500. And if you want one, just simply go to relevantradio.com/Christmas. relevantradio.com/Christmas. It'll bring you right to the page. You can sign up to win one of these. They're absolutely free. If your name is drawn, it's going to get shipped right to your front door. You can put it in the house. You can put it under the Christmas tree. Put it on a table. You can put it outside. A lot of my colleagues here who have them, they built little creches, you know, and they put a spotlight on them. And that's where mine is. As you come up to my home at Christmas and the snow is falling, there you're met by Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in this beautiful nativity scene. That's yours. Go to relevantradio.com/Christmas. I'll be back. We still have a lot more to talk about. Stay with me.